I follow him. I realize that that's going to work when nothing else does. And I started learning things that I didn't expect to learn. So it made me want to ask more questions and learn more things. When you're receiving revelation on something, you and the training, even the most simple things, you'll see the depth of it when others may not. And when I listened to Henry Gruber, how he talked about how the Lord trained him and things he would say. Now, some of his YouTube videos are short. They're like 15, 30 minutes long. And he tell about the miracle that happened. But the long ones talk about the revelation he got to do that. And every day I listen to the Lord to see what, you know, for years I listened to him to see what he would give me. And whenever he brings something to me, I receive it. But it didn't look like my life was going anywhere for years. But I was receiving revelation. And in 98, I kind of backed off because I was, the things I would tell pastors what he told me, but they didn't seem to respond. And I looked at that instead of God and got discouraged. And I stopped the intensity. I didn't follow God the same. I went in a slump. And then Elder May kept for about a month. He was talking about read the word. You got to get in the word. You got to read the word. And I said, I'm tired of him talking about reading the word. I'm going to go back to the word. And I started reading the word again. And then I put in a Charles Capps tape. And the time I did, the Lord started talking. And I said, I'll never go back to that slump again, ever. So I started going, you know, getting in the word like I did before and stuck with it. And the revelation started coming back. When you look, as long as you stay focused, the Lord is preparing you for a much greater plan. You cannot see it all until he reveals it. But when you follow him, it's working. I said, I used to give a simple word. I didn't see no, like Pastor said, no Star Wars, no big fanfare, nothing. I just gave a man a word. You know, I expected to see something, a smile or something. But I, you know, and sometimes, but the Lord told me, he said, sometimes when people receive my word, they look different. They don't always look happy. Sometimes they're challenged. Sometimes they're pondering it. Sometimes they may look forlorn, but that doesn't mean that they're not receiving. He said they can receive it and look like they're not receiving. They cannot receive it and look like they're receiving. You can't go by how they look. So I did the assignment, but I didn't see anything. And then sometimes he'd teach me, but he wouldn't give me what to do with that knowledge. I had to wait. It was around 2004 or 5 he gave me the training, the teaching of the Spirit of Egypt. But he didn't have me to write the book till 2011. In 2011, I wrote it. And then in 2012, I had a copyright written, and then I published.
It's okay, baby. I'm trying to hear.
Yeah.
I know God is patient. I don't mean
that.
I love
you. Yeah. Well, he when in 2004 or 5, he gave me the book. He woke me up and taught me about Egypt all night long. And I slept about 2 hours and felt like I slept 8. But he didn't give me any other assignment, no messages from it, nothing, until 2011. Then he had me to write it in a book. He does things like that. So whatever he give you, you have to ponder it in your heart like Mary did. When you ponder the word in your heart and you receive it and you hold on to it, the Lord is using the knowledge to train you, you know. But at the right moment, he'll give you the okay to go forward. I thought that I would do a message, write a short story. I didn't know I was going to write a book. So I wrote this book, and I had a lady to type it and paid her. And then the Lord gave me the rest of the book. And so I got Shire to type that. I didn't know another few chapters was in there. After I gave the dream, I thought that was it. But then he gave me the best part last. And then I had Shire type it. By the time I did it, it was 2012 when I had a copyright. And I published it on the website. So you have to go to the website to get it. It's free. And it explained a lot. That was an assignment. And the Lord had people that would benefit from it. I published on the old site, and then it's on the new site as well. When he gives you an assignment, he's preparing people to receive whatever he's giving you today. Some things have to, he'll give you thoughts and instructions, and he'll add to it over time. Some things just have to come that way. But at the right time, you have to act, and then publish it or speak it or whatever. If you speak something out of season, it won't work. You have to do it in season. In order to not miss a season, you have to be committed and watchful. When you following God is, it will lead you to perfection. You'll do a perfect work that will change everything. I don't know, you know, that's how everything, he put things in order. Everything is precept on precept, line upon line. But you have to start, and you have to start at the right time so you can finish on time. If you start late, it can interrupt how it all works. But if you start late, later than you should, you may have to do more intense work. The Holy Spirit always has a backup. He's God. He knows what to do. But if you do your burden, somebody else won't have to carry it. They can do what they're designed to do. And sometimes, the assignments that he gave me was actually that was a plan A, B, C, D, E, F. The assignments that he gave me, I'm doing other people's assignments because some things never happen the way he wanted it to happen. So he had me to do it different. He altered how he would have used me. But when people follow God, the everything you need, the courage, the bravery, the commitment, it all comes out of love. As because I love God's people, he showed me what was out there. And I came from a good neighborhood. I thought the world was great. I used to, I lived in it was a new neighborhood. They built the neighborhood when I was 3 years old. And my parents moved there. And they were more established at that time. They were in their 40s. So they bought a new house. I grew up in a new house. And all my friends, their parents were more established. They were older. I was raised by older parents with more wisdom. So were my friends. Most of my friends, their parents were a little younger than my parents. But they were wise people, and they worked hard. They were blue-collar workers that managed their money and worked hard. So when I'm riding, my dad bought me a go-kart. He loved motorcycles and things like that. So he said, I'm going to buy you this go-kart, but you're going to buy your children one too. And he made me promise. So I said, I'm going to do it, man. I was probably a teenager. I made my two nephews a mini bike out of old parts. Wow. And then my other two nephews, I made them a go-kart when I was grown. And then I made my son one. And I had a shower, a moped, you know. So things that, I kept that promise. And, you know, but anyway, he made me promise to do that for them. But the wisdom of God, Mama didn't care about the motorcycles and the mini bikes. She didn't mind me having the go-kart, but he put his foot down on the motorcycle. So I rode around on that motorcycle, and I saw men sitting on the front porch with their wives everywhere I went for years. And you didn't see people getting divorced. You know, I saw a good side of life. I didn't see anybody drunk. I was grown before I seen them drunk men driving our neighborhood. And he was just a little older than me, but he bought he bought the man's house on the end. He had died, he and his wife, and he bought their house. And he almost hit me in a Cadillac going home. That was the first time I seen a drunk person in our neighborhood. A drunk, grown up anyway. That was some teenagers that would drink or whatever. But I saw a good side of life. But when I started working out of my truck, I saw everything else.
And not only that, your father was a pastor.
Yeah.
So you was able to see that too.
Yeah, I saw him minister to people. And when he pastored out of town, and I saw a lot of people that they were loving people. And they worked hard. I'll never forget Mr. Hughes. He had a huge farm. And he had a Union 76 gas station. And he gave me a box of Union 76 antenna balls. And he had a big old box of them. He gave me a third of them. And I took them home and gave them to my friend. Everybody had a 76 ball in there. And they were hardworking people. Mama said when they want to buy a new car, they'll just go sell a couple of cows and go pay cash for it. And they, I mean, I saw good people, you know, till I was about 20. I was 23 or 4 when I was working for myself. Well, I saw people shacking. I saw people on drugs. I saw people whose children had gotten on drugs. I saw all kind of situations. I heard conversations while I was fixing that car, and they people doing everything. And the happiest people are people who take their children to church. People who go to church and they take their whole family go to church every Sunday. They were the most blessed. They didn't have to bail people out of jail. Their children went finished college. They were able to go on vacations. You know, I saw so many sides of life. I worked on every race known to man. I worked on their cars. It was a guy from Iran, and he came over, and it was Christmas time. He said, "A Merry Christmas tree." You know, he saw the Christmas tree. He heard about them, but I think mine was the first one he saw in real life. Real nice guy. He was a Muslim guy. I said, "You want something to eat? You want a hamburger?" He said, no, we don't eat. We have to eat the meat prepared a certain way. We can't eat. He wouldn't eat at a restaurant. I met all kind of people from all kind of backgrounds. And I seen good and bad, blessed and sad situations. And I would help people. Some people that just didn't have the money, I would go to the junkyard and get parts because they just didn't have the money. And I saw a side of life that I didn't see growing up. And I said, people need, and then I went to a good church where they taught the word of God. I said, they need what I'm getting over here. And I didn't know I was too shy to minister to them. Sometimes I would get a conversation going and I would minister to people, you know, while I'm working on their car. Sometimes people would get saved. Sometimes they'd go back to church or rededicate their life. I was a shy person. I didn't talk much. But I was a listener. I grew up that way. I listened to everything. Because I was curious about people. And I like to know how things work. But fixing cars came naturally. That was a gift. I used to, when my mini bike or whatever broke down, my friends would see me take it apart, fix it, and put it back together, and then we all ride it. They didn't know how I did. I thought anybody could do it. You know, they made better grades than I did. I said, "That's easy. Go ahead and put the chain on." They're looking at the chain. I said, "Did you do it this way?" And I could do it. But that was a gift. I didn't know it. I didn't even know how things worked. I'd take it apart, see what was broke, and go back with new parts. I had I had a motorcycle and a gear got broke in it. A kick pinion got broke in it. I didn't even know what was broke. But my sister gave me some tools, and I laid me a blanket out, and I took it apart piece by piece, and I put it in order so I could put it back together. I said, "Oh, that's broke." I asked my mom before I did all that. I said, "Lord," I said, "Mama, can we put the motorcycle in the shop?" She said, "Sit down, son." And I was listening. She said, "This is the summertime. I'm not working, and I'm not getting a check. Only your dad is working. And we have to use the money we have to pay the bills. I just don't have the money to fix that motorcycle. And I said, Mama, you mind if I fix it? She said, sure, she ain't want me to have it no way. I said, can I take it apart and fix it? She said, yeah, go ahead. So I went out there and took it apart. And my friends were playing basketball in the backyard. I had a basketball goal. They said, what you about to do? I said, I'm going to take it apart and I'm going to fix it. Man, you ain't going to never get it back together. So they all left. They said, you going to tear that up. And they left. They laughed at me. And I took it apart. And I took the, I said, Mama, this is what's broke. Let's go. Take me down there. Can you buy this? And she said, well, I don't know. We'll have to see how much it costs. It costs $11.40 after tax. It was a kick pinion. A big guy was driving down a steep hill, and he downshifted too hard and broke it. We had to push that thing all the way home, about a mile. Anyway, she bought it, and I came back. I put it back together, put the oil in there, cranked it up, and I'm riding it around. And they thought I could fix anything. I didn't even know how it worked. I knew what it did, but if I took it apart, I could put it together. The Lord used every ability that I had for His glory. You know, working on cars at people's houses, learning about people, seeing the needs, wanting to do something about it. And that kind of love is just what God, sometimes He has to show you that so that you'll be dedicated. And when He had me to do that newsletter and I saw how the gunfight stopped, I said, the anointing is more than I knew it could be. That's not normal. They should have been having gunfights like they always did, but it stopped. Yeah, it was just the Lord told me to do. He said, I want you to put out a good newsletter. He named it, so that's what I called it. And He would give me what to write. In 1990, He gave me my first, 1991, He gave me my first writing called Coming to Life. I was sitting on the couch minding my own business, and these thoughts came, just like a message. So I'm just enjoying it, and then I said, I better write this down. So I started writing. I didn't start at the top. I left room to go back and put the first part. I just started where He did. And He gave me a list of things pertaining to coming to life. And then I went back and put the first 8 things. And I looked at it. And then He gave me a title called Coming to Life. I said, what? I said, is this a message? But He didn't say it was a message. I wrote it in my notebook. And I did like most Christians. I left it in the notebook until I showed it to the man that owned the alternator shop, Dennis Morgan. He was a Christian. And I let him read it. He said, man, I want you to type this up and give me a copy. So I did. I had it typed up. And I went to Office Depot and got 100 copies. Well, that week, my uncle died. And I let my cousin have a copy. He said, man, the family will be blessed if you just give them. He said, pass this out to the family. So I did. As soon as I did, the Lord gave me another writing. Well, in 1994, or almost 95, He gave me the assignment, the good newsletter. And I started doing that letter in 96. So from the time I started doing it, He would give me a writing like He did then. I said, Mama, I don't know what to call these. She said, they're sermons. But I said, it's different. But years later, the Lord taught, He called them living letters. So I wrote them. I made 1,000 copies and passed them out between, you know where the Holiday Inn is? And you know where the Holiday Inn is in Woodlawn area? By the airport.
Yeah.
All right. And you know where Stockholm Valve used to be? That was the area. On that side of 10th Avenue, about 1,000 addresses. That's where I did passed them out. And it worked. The anointing is, the anointing is like heavy equipment. I work on heavy equipment sometimes. A man with a shovel can do a day's work, but heavy equipment can do what it'll take him months to do. It can do it in 1 hour. I bought a house in Huffman, and the backyard was slanted, and I wanted a pool back there. And I said, I'm going to put the pool in the middle of the yard, so I was going to take dirt from one end and put it on the other. And it looked simple until I started doing it. And I knew a man with a back with a bobcat. He came in. He came there early. I got off work and met him. He was there 1 hour and he had finished that pool pad. I asked the Lord his definition of the anointing. He said it's a sanction that gives a man or woman God's ability to perform and finish a specific task. Samson had God's ability to judge and fight. Billy Graham had God's ability to evangelize. He was trained, and then he was effective because of his prayer network and the anointing on his life. I listen to some of his sermons now, and it's the same revelation I'm getting now. And it was his words were structured so perfect. You know, that's the anointing. The Lord can anoint you to do anything he wants done. But you have to activate it. And that's where we have to be trained so that we can activate it and then we will activate it. Some people have the anointing, but it's dormant. They won't do anything with it. But if they do, it works. And if you keep work, if you keep being faithful to it and with it, you're faithful to it by living a clean life, a loving life, holy life. And you're faithful with it by using it. So I had to have the love. I had to have the commitment, the dedication. I saw the needs of the people. And then I saw what God could do through me. When I did that good newsletter, I said, this is more important than I ever imagined. When he gave me the radio assignment, I was excited all over. I said, now he's giving me a city, counties, the Jefferson, a large portion of Alabama. I see, in every message, I always did a new broadcast. Sometimes if a CD went bad or something, they'd have to play last week's. The radio station's not perfect, but God is. He knows what's going to happen. He can give a current word that people need at the right time. And I pray for that. So when he anoints you to do something, it's not just important. It's real important. People are going to live. And when